on the brink of the French Revolution, those of us who've studied history know that Napoleon Bonaparte was a significant part of the revolution. The revolution destroyed France in a variety of ways, and the destruction of France led to the destruction of Europe in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. That's just a historical fact. On the brink and on the eve of one of the greatest wars, battles during the revolution, Napoleon and his first and second commanders were having a conversation. And Napoleon, with his sarcasm, he was known for that, asked his commanders, how are we going to do this and pull it off? In other words, how is our attack going to be effective and successful if we really want to gain control and govern this country? And the first and second commanders looked at Napoleon and said, sir, I don't think there's an answer for that. It's such a massive undertaking. And of course, this is all happening in French. And Napoleon replied to them, it's not that difficult. We just have to get to the family. And then everything will be ours. Napoleon was absolutely right. When you study the revolution, you see how he strategically aimed all of his attacks on the family. He didn't use big guns. He didn't have a lot of men to fight. All that might have had its place during the revolution. But he knew that if he could tear apart a husband from his wife and a wife from her husband and bring down what we know as marriage and as family life, he would win. Because Napoleon knew that was the basic cell, that was the foundation of any successful culture. And so it happened, Napoleon won, and the revolution occurred. Now, we all see this retrospectively, but Napoleon, in his intelligence, knew that if you quickly study culture, and you quickly study the civilization of peoples, family life is at the basis of all of it. And if a ruler, a king, a monarch, a dictator, a president wants to gain control, he or she will get the family underneath him. And then everything is his or hers. Now, certainly there's a place and time for a homily on the current state of affairs in this country. But today, it makes sense that we pay a little bit of attention to the family. The weekend after Christmas, every year we dedicate to the family. It's the Feast of the Holy Family, where we commemorate Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And it's been said from my mouth, and certainly from other priests' mouths, that God didn't drop down from a stork. He didn't just end up on this earth, but singularly, exclusively, and willfully, God chose a husband and wife to complete what he saw as the holiest family on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to bring about the salvation of peoples. It's interesting, right? If you place Napoleon, and there's many rulers that were as evil or more evil than Napoleon, but also very successful. If you place Napoleon on one pillar and God on the other, they use the same means. God used the family to bring about salvation, to bring you and I to heaven. Napoleon used the family to destroy much of Europe. Because the family we can't get past. No matter which way we want to look at it, the family is essential for success and progression of all peoples. And certainly the family is the place where all of us should come to know who Jesus is. Mother Teresa would tell her sisters as they entered the convent, she'd look at them and she'd say, it's not up to me to teach you how to love. Now this is Mother Teresa. It's not up to me to teach you how to love. And it's not up to God, ladies, to teach you how to love. You should know how to love by now. Because that was the job of your mother and father, was to teach you how to love. I'm just going to use that and capitalize on it. That's what Mother Teresa said. St. Therese of Lisieux, who's wonderfully, her parents were just canonized a couple of months ago by Pope Francis. St. Therese was famous for writing that I would have no idea of the love of God if I did not see each and every day the love in my home between my mom and my dad. Folks, St. Therese is the most read saint of all time. She's an amazing woman. She's in heaven. And she attributes her love for God to her mom and to her dad. There's a famous priest in St. Paul, Minnesota, that would continue to tell his people, it's not euthanasia, it's not abortion, it's not murder, it's not rape, it's not greed that's bringing control to this country. It's that time and time again, homes are giving to the world children that have no idea who God is. Mothers and fathers do not bring their children up in the ways of the faith anymore. However, if you listen attentively to the gospel today, it's the very thing that put Mary and Joseph in crisis. They were practicing their faith. They were tending to the customs of the Jewish religion. And in that custom, making a visit to the temple every year, they lost their son, Jesus. But when saints read this, and what saints teach us about this gospel is not so much the anxiety of losing Jesus. The anxiety, friends, is that they lost Jesus because they knew who Jesus was. The famous cliche, you don't know what you have until it's gone, fits perfectly in this gospel passage. Their anxiety was not the absence of Jesus. It was knowing how crucial Jesus is in the center of a family. And if he's not in the center of the family, no matter how much money, no matter how good the parents may be, that family is still incomplete. And when Jesus was gone, when he was absent, when he was not at the center of Mary and Joseph's life for those 3 days, they were struck with a crisis. Where is he? Where could he have gone? Because Mary and Joseph knew that if we're going to make this work, Jesus needs to be at the center, albeit Jesus is their son. But they knew by that time, 12 years into their family life, that we cannot do this without God's blessing. Mothers and fathers, today is your day. On behalf of the church, I thank you for what you do for your kids, what you will do for your future kids, for those of you who are just beginning family life. But know that God wants so badly to be a part of your marriage and of your family life. It's not easy. And how beautiful it is that we get to see the greatest family on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. On the Feast of the Holy Family, we have a gospel passage about one of their major crises. It's not perfect, and it won't be. But God needs to be at the center of family life. If you study art and classical and Renaissance art of the nativity scene, the scene that's depicted just below Joseph there in the east corner of the church, oftentimes the onlookers, so the kings and the shepherds and even the animals, oftentimes the artists do not depict them focusing on Jesus. Rather, they focus on Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Because the artists knew that it took all three not only to make Christmas happen, but to open up the gates of heaven for all eternity and the plan of God's salvation. And so, mothers and fathers, if you look to the nativity scene, the beautiful manger scene that the parish purchased, if you look at the scene, you'll notice as much as we want to concentrate our attention on the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Mothers and fathers, if you look carefully, what's at the center of that marriage and of that first home? They didn't have a mansion. They didn't even have a shack. They had a manger scene. They had a stable. But in the center of that stable was at the center of what should be at the center of all of our homes. And that's Jesus Christ.